All right. So.
All right. So.
Good Lord. It's going to be one of those days, huh?
Good Lord. It's going to be one of those days, huh?
Okay.
Okay.
Are you copying me?
Are you copying me?
Don't copy me.
Don't copy me.
I hate it when you copy me.
I hate it when you copy me.
It's so rude.
It's so rude.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, let's do this.
Okay, let's do this.
All right.
All right.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay, I'm beginning to regret asking you to be on this podcast, honey.
Beginning to ask you to be on this podcast, honey.
All right.
All right.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do this.
Sana, how are you?
Good. Just came back from Christmas party.
Christmas party there in Hanoi, Vietnam.
Specifically, Eco Park.
Mm-hmm. Specifically, Eco Park. I guess for Americans, I guess Eco Park would be considered kind of like a suburb.
Or a zoo.
Or a zoo.
Yeah, I live in zoo.
The Eco Park is a zoo, right? Why did they call it Eco Park anyway?
Because it's green and
there's a lot of trees,
lots of artificial lakes. They're promoting green life.
Yeah, very intentional design.
Mm-hmm.
Promote ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's striking contrast with the city of Hanoi. You couldn't get more different.
Mm-hmm.
Between Eco Park and Hanoi is just an absolute crazy place. Oh my goodness. I can't believe how many motorbikes there are in Hanoi. It's just... Anyway, Sana is Iranian, and she recently introduced me to a Persian holiday that until recently I wasn't familiar with, and it's called Yalda. I'm not the person to ask because I just found out about it, but Sana, I want to hear from you. What is Yalda? Why is it so important to your culture?
Yalda or Shabbat Chele is a Persian celebrated on the eve of the first day of the winter, which falls on December 21 to 22 in Iranian calendar. Basically, it's the longest night of the year, and it is defined as the birth of Mitra. Mitra means sun. Mitra is also a very popular Persian name for girls. It is also a turning point after which the days grow longer. It symbolizes the triumph of the light and goodness over the powers of darkness. It is very significant for Iranians because it is celebration of the birth of the sun god, who symbolizes light, goodness, and strength on earth. So Shabi Yalda is very joyful and happy time. It's a festival that is most important celebration in ancient Iran, and it continued to be celebrated until this day, and the period is over more than 5,000 years ago. In fact, the celebration was brought to Iranian plateau by the Aryan, or in other words, Iranian migrants, around middle of the second millennium before Christ, birth of Christ. But the original date of celebration can be tracked as far as pre-Zoroastrianism era, which is the very first monotheist religion on earth, around 3rd or 4th millennium BCE.
Well, I think it's interesting that it has that symbolism. You're recognizing the birth of the sun, so to speak. I like that. The American culture is sadly lacking in a lot of that symbolism that you find in other parts of the world. I mean, and not to get too far off track here, but Christians are very unaware of a lot of the symbolism in the Jewish holidays. And they're very, very, very distinct. And when you become aware of it, then life just has more meaning when you have this symbolism. And it's just, you just, there's so much lacking in American culture that we can learn from cultures like yours. And I that symbolism of birth of the sun, all of a sudden, it's not just the dreary winter, but you have a reason for optimism. It's a hopeful message. Yes, it's a little bit dark, but it means that the sun is being reborn.
Right. So the whole night, people burn fire to ensure the defeat of the forces of evil and or darkness, basically. They would feast, they would chant and sing rhymes of very popular poets like Rumi, Sa'di, Hafez. Till morning, they eat special fruits and food specifically for that night till morning. And of course, they would pray and perform lots of activities to make sure the total victory of the sun is happening in the next day in the morning. And they will reach to wisdom.
How long your absence and pain? It makes no sense. It's so insane. Tormenting, I know you love so much. How long this agony will you maintain? I have no one but you, my love. How can then I from love refrain? How can a life without you I live, when a moment of sleep I cannot obtain? Surrounded am I with pain and sorrow. To whom, my dear, do I complain? It was so nice you came for a while, but now I am back to crying again. And Hafez says, I'm going to die. I can't survive this emotional drain. That's the Persian poet Hafez.
Mm-hmm.
Very profound poetry. And I'm sure that's the English translation. It's wonderful, but I'm sure that the original is just a delight to behold.
That's right.
And if you speak Farsi and you can understand it, I'm sure it would just be so lovely.
Well, Yalda is known to be like one of the celebration that is the foundation of many other celebration around the world, like lots of ancient Rome relief system came from Iranian traditions. They have similar type of celebration in their country as well. With the spread of Christianity, Christmas celebration became the most important Christian festival, and many believe it roots back into Yalda as well. Birth of a son and birth of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, kind of similar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Similarities, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's why Christmas is in December.
Yeah, and it falls all this in the same date, all these festivals.
Right, because all of the Bible scholars say that, well, there's no way he was born in December, it would have been too cold.
Right, so what nobody knows, it's not clear why the name Yalda entered to Persian language for this celebration. The massive persecution of early Christians in Rome, which brought many Christians refugees into one of the Persian empires, Sasanian, and it claims that these Christians reintroduced and popularized Yalda in Iran. So gradually, Shabi Yalda or Shabi Chele became synonymous, and the two are used interchangeably.
Chelet, Chellet, that is Farsi for 40, correct?
Right. Chellet means 40.
Because I did a little research too, because once I realized that I'm deficient in this knowledge, I had to go look some things up, and I watched a few YouTubes. YouTube University on Yalda. And Chellet actually means 40. And it symbolizes 40 days of cold. So again, you know, when you add that element of the symbolism, all of a sudden, you know, you're not just slogging through another dreary winter. Of course, yes, it is cold and it's, you know, the days are short. I guess it puts a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel rather than just, I got to suffer through another winter.
Right, honey, and I found something very interesting you might be interested in.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Like, the Iranian Jews who are amongst the oldest inhabitants in the country, in addition to Shabbatele or Yalla, also celebrated the festival of Ilanaut.
Ilanaut?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it well.
How do you spell it?
Illanout. And this celebration of the festival Ilanaut, or Ilanaut, if I'm not wrong, was around the same time too. And it is very similar to Yalda celebration. Candles are lit and all varieties of dried and fresh winter fruits are served. Special meals are prepared and prayers are performed. There are also very similar festivals in many parts of southern Russia that are identical to Yalda.
Well, Google search, you type in Ilanaut and all it does is festivals in Iran and a bunch of articles on Yalda.
Yeah, so the Iranian Jews have a Ilanaut. Only Jews celebrate it.
Oh, and it coincides with Yalda.
Right.
Interesting.
So I'm going to end this with a poem from Sa'di. The sight of you each morning is a new year. Any night of your departure is the eve of Yalda. With all my pains, there is still the hope of recovery. Like the eve of Yalda, there will finally be an end.
That's lovely. It's nice to know that there is actual culture in Iran. If we were to go by CNN's description, you would think that it's this vast desert wasteland. That's all. Anytime you see footage of Iran, they just have the stock footage, I think.
Right. Probably your fellow American thinks you found your wife somewhere in a desert under the tent drinking water like a horse from a stream of water. River.
I'll bet the stock footage that CNN uses for Iran is probably in New Mexico somewhere, some desert.
Honestly, when we watch CNN, we sometimes have difficult time to locate those places in our map.
Right. It's like, where
like, where
is
did
this?
They shoot this?
Let me ask you a question, honey. What is one thing that you have learned, or maybe one mindset that you've developed this past year? Of course, you and I got married.
And I lost my mind.
All right. So I want to ask you, what is one thing that you have, one area of your life that you've grown in 2020?
That not everything always goes the way I plan.
Okay.
And sometimes it's very difficult for me to digest that because I'm kind of a perfectionist and I want everything to be done on the right time, fast. I wanna get whatever I wish for right at that time.
Right.
But I've learned that not everybody has the same mindset as me, and sometimes I have to accommodate those people and learn to be patient.
Right.
I mean, me and you've been through a lot. It was like a roller coaster. I never rode one, but honey, this really gave me that feeling. But this year, but also, I feel like my love for you has grown deeper and deeper, because I had you beside me, and I didn't have to go through everything alone. And you're very patient, your calm demeanor always. You know, calm me down and take my stress and anxiety away. We are like fire and water. I'm fire and you're water. Like, I can go to sky like a rocket.
Yeah. And she can, believe me.
But you will be like, your facial muscles doesn't move an inch. Like you are sitting on a glass of wine and you're like, are you done? Can we talk now?
Right.
See. So,
well, the thing I've learned with you is that you get a little bit, I mean, just when things heat up a little bit, you get a little bit heated.
I cannot take stupidity. This is truth.
Yeah. But then like 2 hours later, you're fine. You just need to just kind of vent, and then 2 hours later you're perfect.
I'll be laughing.
Still, Yeah, yeah. You're like the lake with no wind again. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned about you is that you're just, you get a little feisty at times.
I can, honey, like, I can see you and Gabriel will be sitting on a couch watching me walking back and forth, eating myself to walk, and then both of us.
We're just going
to
be eating popcorn.
Yeah, you're going to be eating popcorn, and your eyeball is going to move with my movements.
Drinking our herbal tea.
Yeah.
He'll have his little whatever drink or something. I'll be drinking my tea, mm-hmm. eating some popcorn.
Right.
Sana brought the fireworks today. This is entertaining.
Mm.
You know, one thing that I have, I guess one mindset that I've developed, or I would say has become more developed and more refined, is just being patient. And that's similar to what you just said. Being patient and also having a mindset of sometimes you just have to ship your product. And by what I mean by that is whatever you're producing, sometimes you just have to hit publish. Like, I had no idea what we're going to talk about on this podcast, right? And I just said, Sana, can you record in an hour? And I had no agenda. I had no idea what we're going to talk about. Too many times in the last year, I have allowed, be it this podcast or other projects that I'm working on, I've just allowed things to just, you miss a week publishing your podcast, and then all of a sudden, well, you get in that mindset, okay, well, I missed one, well, what's another week? And it's a bad habit. It's easy to get into that, and I think especially this year, with things being so crazy, so insane, it was very easy to allow things to get out of my grasp. And too often, like this podcast went through a period of months where I didn't publish anything, and I had good reason. I was busy. I had new clients.
You didn't have me as your co-host.
Right. Yeah, it's all Jim Lambie's fault. We'll blame him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His ear is buzzing. You know. His ear is like, people are talking about me.
No, but seriously, that's why I asked Jim to help out with the show. It's because I just need that accountability. I needed that, just that kick in the pants and say, like, Thursday night, we record a podcast.
Kick in the pants?
Yeah. Oh, what is so funny about this?
What? Can I kick you over your pants? It should be in your pants.
Man, thanks a lot. You know, I was really on a roll here. Our listeners press play with the expectation that we're going to deliver some value, and every time I deliver value, you just completely derail me.
You talk about funny phrases.
Thanks. Just when I was delivering value, honey, you interrupted me and completely. I can't even remember what I was talking about.
To be honest, me too. I forgot. So don't ask me.
What I was saying, I think, is that sometimes you just have to hit publish, whether you're ready or not, and just say, this is the best that I've got today. A podcast that I was recently editing for another client of ours is, he was saying he would procrastinate a lot. And then he got into live radio, and he said, you know, if you're on live radio, you can't call in sick. That light goes on in 30 seconds, and you just have to talk. And that got him out of this mindset of putting things off. And you can't be a perfectionist on live radio. Kind of the same thing with us. You know, I just said, honey, we got to record. I didn't do it as much for people listening as I did it for me.
Right. Because you don't even care. It's 11 p.m. here.
Okay. Yes.
You're doing okay, it
honey,
for
we've
you.
Take, yes, we've... We all appreciate the sacrifice that you're making by being on this podcast at 10:44 p.m.
Right. I could kick you in your pants, but I didn't.
Unfortunately, my wife, Sana, is unable to maintain her composure. I have to apologize to our listeners who pressed play with the expectation that we would share something of value and help you
along your journey
of making money.
Everything I said was valuable.
Unfortunately, the person that I asked to co-host this episode has an attitude that it's all about me. Poor me. It's 10:44 p.m. And let's just put the focus on me.
La, 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 la.
For those of you who are still listening, I guess I should say, don't you have something better to do? I mean, what's wrong with you that you're still listening to this? If you're still listening to this...
Honey, what a question is that? They just love me.
I think if they're still listening to this, they need to evaluate their life priorities. Is this really the best way you can spend your time?
James Newcomb, you're insulting me.
I am not insulting you.
Yes. You're insulting me.
I am not.
You're insulting the listeners. They know what value I bring in their life, and they prioritize their life to listen to me.
Okay. What value are you adding to this podcast?
I bring laughter.
Okay. Yes, you do.
If you laugh for...
You most certainly do.
If you laugh for a minute, you add 1 year to your life.
Okay, honey. I'm going to level with you. I have kept every single New Year's resolution I've ever made.
Wow.
And if that sounds incredible, if it sounds impossible, let me also say that I've made one New Year's resolution in my entire life.
And that's this year.
No. I was 8 years old. Mm. So this would be 1980, I guess, New Year of 1985.
Like 48 years ago.
Okay. And then I think my mom asked me if I wanted to make a New Year's resolution. And my dad was a trumpet player. And I said, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution to learn to play the trumpet. And my dad taught me the basics. And I've stuck with it. Wouldn't you know it? 35 years later?
You're 46 now. Let me see. 8 years minus 56.
No, honey, I'm 40. 56?
Yeah.
Or 46?
You're 56.
You just said 46.
No, 56.
Both are wrong, but... But anyway, the one resolution I've ever made, New Year's resolution I've ever made, I've kept. Like, I never quit. How's your track record, honey? How many New Year's resolutions have you broken?
Really? I never have any resolutions for any of my New Year's.
My attitude is that if you make a New Year's resolution, let's say you... Like December 1st, and you're thinking about, okay, what's going to be different in the new year? Like December 1st, 2020. If you're asking yourself, what's going to be different in 2021? I think that you're already shooting yourself in the foot because you're already in the habit of procrastinating. If you say, well, on January 1st, I'm going to do this differently. And if you say that December 1st, then you're like, well, I'm just going to put it off for 30 days. Because I don't have to do this for another 30 days. If you see a need to do something differently on December 1st, why not just start doing it December 1st?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have that attitude, your chances of actually following through on it, they're not good because you've already set a bad precedent procrastinating by holding off until December or January 1st.
Well, I think I had a resolution this year. Like, this morning when you wake up, I think I was telling you, wishing you Merry Christmas. And I'm like, my wish is next year Christmas, we're going to be together holding each other in our arms. So that's my resolution for next year. I think I can't wait for that moment.
And that's totally different from at the end of November saying, well, I need to lose weight. And that seems to be like the go-to resolution. So I'll go with that. You want to lose 30 pounds or whatever. I say, well, starting January, I'm going to go to the gym, paleo diet or whatever it is, fill in the blank. But until then, well, I'm just going to live my life as I've always done it. I think that's a very childish mindset. If that's your attitude of, well, I'll change this on January 1st, well, you're not because you've already set a bad precedent of procrastinating. If you see a need to do something on December 1st, you should start doing it on December 1st. But like you're saying, you know, we're talking on December 25th, and you're saying, well, the next Christmas we're going to be together. That's different. It's you're not obvious. You can't procrastinate that. We have to wait. We're sort of here by choice, but it's not by choice, if you know what I mean.
No, can you explain? Can you elaborate?
Because of my family situation, Sana and I are not together Christmas of 2020 because I have a child that is emotionally dependent on his father and he needs his father around. That's why I'm here. Reason numero uno is why I am not with my wife for Christmas of 2020 is because of my child. But it's our last Christmas apart, right? That's a resolution that you can believe in. So, honey, I think we may have actually shared something of value.
Oh, just because you just talked for like 10 minutes nonstop, now it's yes, became valuable.
Yes, because everybody needs to focus on me. Now that I got to speak,
so who's now the narcissist?
I don't know. It depends on how you define narcissist.
Definitely not the same as your dictionary.
I guess the Persian dictionary is different than the American dictionary, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much every All American right. colleagues I had, they were like this. They are the best. They know everything. Sometimes everything they talk, there's no foundation. There's no base, baseless, but they talk like it's truth.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And you have no choice just to nod your head.
Well, anyway, we're going to wrap things up here. Those of you who have listened in, thank you for pressing play and thank you for sticking it out all the way to the bitter end. As you can hear, my wife, Sana, and I, we enjoy each other's company most of the time. And when we get recording on these podcasts, we just have a lot of fun. And so we hope that it was enjoyable for you. And Sana is, we're going to be here probably hearing more from Sana in the future because I will be going to Vietnam. We're going to be living together while her visa to live in the United States processes. I'm going to wait it out in the arms of my beloved wife. And she and I are actually working together very closely in this business called Beaten Path Media. And Musicpreneur is, I guess, what do you call it? An outgrowth, or it's not an outgrowth, but it's sponsored by or produced by Beaten. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
You said outgrowth. It's like extra growth.
It's not like something growing out of your head. But it's like Beaten Path Media is the name of the business. And then Musicpreneur is, I guess, produced by Beaten Path Media. It's the best way to describe it, I guess. Anyway, Sana is the managing director of Beaten Path Media, although it's still not clear as to what she manages nor directs.
Honey, I manage title. You and I direct your whole life.
Yes,
apart
you do.
From FMP.
She is also the financial management planner.
That's right.
The FMP of Beaten Path Media. So, we'll probably be hearing more from Sana. And of course, Jim Lambie, the great, the esteemed Jim Lambie, will be in your earballs again next week. And maybe I'll put a little more thought into a topic to discuss because we do want to respect people's time. We do value your time that you have shared with us, and we do appreciate it. And we wish you all a very happy Christmas and a happy New Year. And we hope that just like Yalda brings in it's the birth of the sun, we hope that the symbolism of the new year, January 1st, will also bring in a mindset of not beginning anew, but continuing what you're already doing. And if you feel inspired to resolve to do something a little bit better in 2021, better than you did in 2020, well, good for you. Congratulations, and you have our full support. And please stay in contact with us.
All the best.
Hey, my name is James Newcomb, and as you can hear, my wife and I like to have fun when we press record on these podcasts, and we bring this as a service to our clients and would-be, perhaps prospective clients of our company, Beaten Path Media. And we are working together to build this business, and we're just having a great time doing it. And if you are interested in learning more about Sana and myself and what we can offer, if you're thinking about getting into the podcasting, the YouTubing, the digital media production game, then look us up. And I'd love to talk and see if we can help bring you to closer to your goals and bring you and your podcast, your YouTube, your digital media to the next level. Check us out on the web at beatenpath.media. That's spelled BEATIN, path.media.